We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
I've been looking forward to this. Now, if I told you, Crowder, that the day after the NBA Finals ended, that we were going to spend a segment talking to a Marlins pitcher, you'd have probably said,
I would have been confused if I didn't see the performance.
Right. Jordan Yamamoto, he's our NBA champion or whatever, yes. Whatever. He's our champion because he had a great outing this week. So Jordan Yamamoto, he's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Marlins pitcher, he made his major league debut this week for the Marlins. No big deal, just 7 shutout innings and the win and a great story and an appearance on MLB Network and all that fun. So Marlins, by the way, begin a 3-game series with the Pirates tonight at Marlins Park, and that probably would be a fun activity this weekend for Father's Day. You go out, catch a Marlins game. But Jordan Yamamoto is with us. Hello, Jordan.
What's up, guys? How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. You must be doing pretty great, right? You got to be feeling great after that outing.
Yes, definitely. I mean, it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Made the most of it, and I'm just happy that the Marlins were able to give me that opportunity.
So I watched you on MLB Network after the debut, and you were telling everybody there the story of how you got notified that the Marlins called you up to the bigs, which obviously is every minor league player's dream, or every kid, you know, Crowder's kid is playing Little League baseball, yep. And he's trying to direct him towards baseball, not football like him, because it's
violent, man.
It's violent. Football's violent. So yeah. Tell everybody the story, if they didn't see it on MLB Network, of how you got notified that you were coming up to the big leagues.
I was on the bus. We were getting ready to go to Birmingham, Alabama, play the White Sox off. And I was sitting there, I'm talking with one of the guys about Luis Roberts and how he's a really great player and everything. And then we're getting ready to leave, and the manager walks on the bus and, you know, just goes, hey, we have a luggage capacity on the bus. So if you guys have stuff you guys don't really need, please take it off the bus. And we're all thinking, like, oh, no, we need everything on the bus, you know. And then he goes, hey, Yamamoto, for example, your barbershop, your hair cutting tools, can you please take it off the bus? They see everybody stand up and kind of yell, no, we need that, we need that, because that's what's kind of like 6 guys' hair. And then he goes, no, Yamamoto, take your stuff off the bus right now. You're going to Miami. And I just instantly, like, stood up and just broke down in tears. You know, everybody's screaming. Everybody's cheering for me. So it's a really great opportunity and really great experience to know that all my teammates had my back and was really excited for me.
And we'll get to the haircut and stuff in a second, because I got some questions, Jordan. But first, even from that moment, like, so he tells you you're going up. Do you get off the bus with your teammates, go straight to an airport and fly down? Like, how does that work?
I got off the bus. They were pretty much forcing me off the bus, you know, because the manager was like, hey, get yourself off the bus. So everybody's like, what are you doing? Sitting on the bus. Get off the bus. Get off the bus. Everybody's yelling at me to get off the bus. And guys all shaking my hand, going outside. I went outside, and I was in tears. Guys came up to me, started hugging me, congratulating me, and then from there, you know, I couldn't help but cry, and then call my parents and give them the news.
Jordan Yamamoto is with us, Marlins pitcher, had his major league debut and 7 shutout innings. So you say you called your parents. Now, I know the story, but you're from Hawaii. That's a very long trip, Hawaii to Miami. Yeah. Was anyone in your family able to make it for your MLB debut?
Oh, yes. So when I called my dad initially, he was kind of like hesitant, but he was like, hey, should we start looking for flights? And I was like, yes, I'm going to talk to mom. I'm going to call my mom and talk to her about it. So I called my mom, told her I made the debut and I was about to make my debut. And she started breaking down in tears, talking to me. And she's like, you know, it's a little expensive. And I was like, mom, I don't care. It's a once in a lifetime opportunity. I don't care how much it costs. Here's my card. Take it and buy the tickets, you know, like it wasn't because I was pretty busy. I was trying to pack up my stuff and get down here. But told my mom, just use this card and then buy the tickets. I don't care how much it is. Just get here. You know, it means a lot more to me if they're here than anything else, you know. So they definitely made it out here. My mom, my dad, and my younger sister made it out here. My older sister was at work, couldn't get off for the next 3 days. But it's all good, you know. It's a part of life.
Did you tell your parents go ahead and charge first class if they wanted, or you wanted them to fly coach?
No. Yeah, so my auntie, she owns a travel agency, so she helped my mom find the tickets for them out. So they left. It was funny because they were at work, both of them. My mom and my dad were at work. It was like 11 o'clock in the morning, and when I broke the news, and the next flight out was at 3 o'clock, so they had to go home within 30 minutes, pack their stuff, and be at the airport, you know, by 1 o'clock. So it was actually kind of funny how everything played out, and just the urgency they had to have to get to the airport on time.
And you've been in the major league system since 2014 with the Brewers, I believe, and then, you know, with the Marlins organization. And you obviously were ready, Jordan. You came out, like Hawk said, 7 shutout innings. Did you know you were ready for this jump?
It was one of those things that I didn't even have time to process it. You know, like, I got the call, and within 2 hours, I'm driving down to Jupiter to stay the night at my girlfriend's house. And then the next morning, I didn't even have time to sleep. Like, by the time I got there, it was 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. You know, by the time I unpacked my truck and repacked it up to leave the next day, it was 2 o'clock in the morning. I was just very excited, couldn't really sleep. So it was just one of the things I never even had time to process it until it all happened. So I couldn't really think about anything. I just had to go out there and like everybody was telling me, just to pitch the game I know how to pitch and trust everything and just let it happen.
Were you pissed that you didn't get the complete game?
Wait, what was that? Sorry.
I said, were you pissed that you didn't get the complete game?
Oh, no. I'm totally happy. I'm just very fortunate enough to even be out there. You know, like, I was coming up to my pitch count, and, you know, just a couple batters here and there that I walked. But, I mean, it is what it is. I'm still happy about my outing. Just defense really helped me out that time game, like, with the two solid double plays me on the infield that really got me out of jams. Those are big turning points for me and my confidence.
You didn't tear into Mattingly? You don't know what you're doing? I can go?
No, no chance. No chance.
And Jordan, I know you have some stuff. I'm a friend with Dontrell Willis, and I saw on Twitter he said that slider, though, with the big eye emojis. So you're impressing very impressive pitches. Like, pitchers, you're impressing them. What's the biggest difference? Because a week ago you were pitching the minor leaguers, and then you jump to the majors. What was the biggest difference pitching in those two leagues that are very far apart?
For me, it's trusting my stuff. You know, like in the minors, I had, like, especially this year, I had a little couple of rough patches during the season, a couple of rough games here and there. And the main part was just not trusting it. You know, like, hey, I know I can pitch here. I know what I can do. I need to trust my stuff. But last night or the other night, I just trusted Holly, trusted everything he put down, and I just threw it right through his glove. I mean, I never hesitated once, and I said, you know what, every pitch, I told myself over the game, whatever he puts down, just throw it. You know, trust him, trust your defense, and trust everybody behind you.
Jordan Yamamoto, Marlins pitcher, and again, Marlins open a 3-game series tonight at Marlins Park against the Pirates. There's been, you know, some things to cheer about in a season that we didn't think there was going to be anything to cheer about. There's been some nice win streaks, and now you got Jordan Yamamoto. What should Marlins fans and sports fans down here know about you? We got to get to know you. What's Jordan Yamamoto's favorite movie of all time?
Favorite movie of all time. I would have to go with the Fast and Furious series. Big car guy. Love the cars. Love the car scene. The family lifestyle is a lot of cars in our family. So it's just the car scene. Definitely Fast and the Furious, that series.
The Fast and the Furious series.
You got Hobbs and Shaw coming out.
Yeah, you must be excited. Wow, that's an answer I didn't expect. But then again, I don't hang out with young people. So...
I swore it'd be a baseball movie.
I was certain it would be The Natural or Field of Dreams. What about your favorite television show? You have a favorite TV show?
I don't really watch TV all as much because, I mean, we're traveling so much, but it's more of a Netflix thing. So it's funny because I kind of go on Twitter and ask people what I should be watching on Netflix, and people give me different shows. And I pretty much watch almost 70% of everything on Netflix already because of our long bus trips and in AA and long flights back home in the off season. So it's just one of the things that whatever I can get my hands on, I just watch and I just binge watch on it.
Favorite band or musical artist?
Not really. I'm a big country guy. I like to listen to country music a lot, country and island music, only because it's more real to me. I kind of like the way it sounds in the song on your phone is how they sound in concert, you know. So that's kind of what I appreciate of country and island music.
What about favorite athlete? Do you have a favorite athlete of all time?
I'm not a big sports guy. I don't really watch sports all that much. But growing up, it was funny because I was a big Red Sox fan growing up, big Jason Varitek fan. So if there's that, then I'd have to say Jason Varitek.
So did you watch the NBA Finals last night, or you didn't care at all?
I was spending time with my family yesterday, and we got back like halftime of the game back to our hotel. But I was really tired, so like by the third quarter, I was kind of like, "Hey, mom, I'm probably gonna go sleep already." So I ended up leaving third quarter. Woke up to see the Raptors won. You know, I was kind of rooting for Golden State at one point. I said Golden State in seven, but things happened. But I'm just happy that because the Raptors did deserve that.
And I got to ask you about you. You brought it up earlier, Jordan, about the haircutting, man. Can you do how much you charging for a cut in the locker room?
It's not really about charging guys. It's more about, you know, helping them out because all the cities you go to in the minor leagues, it's hard to be new and find a barber that you truly trust with your hair because a haircut can make or break 2 weeks of your life, you know, like, especially for the guys that like to go out, you know. It makes or breaks definitely 2 weeks. So it's hard to find places to go, especially if you have to field from 12 o'clock to 11 o'clock at night. You know, it's just hard to find a barbershop. So I started doing it to help the guys out. Here and there so that they don't have to leave the ballpark. They can just do it whenever they want. It's just to pretty much help them out because, like I said, too, they don't really appeal on them much. And nowadays, you'll see a barber charge $40 for a haircut. So for me, it's just, hey, this is for you. I'm here to help you out and just let me know what I can do.
I think that's one of the main differences between a professional football locker room and a minor league baseball clubhouse, because it might be different in the majors. Because Crowder, when he played for the Dolphins, he used to run a concession out of the locker so that his teammates, you know, they'd come in from practice, what? They'd want some chewing tobacco.
They want some dip, chips, candy, something for a meeting. And, Jordan, you're around a bunch of millionaires now, bro. Don't give away stuff for free. You got to charge them. I was charging $10 for a bag of chips, and the millionaires can pay it.
Yeah, we got juice now over here, so that's also why I left a lot of my stuff up in up in Jupiter. I left a lot of my haircutting stuff there because Juice is here. He's a great guy. I saw my haircut by him before my outing 2 days ago, so it was one of the things that it was really cool me able to talk story with him and have a conversation about just life, baseball, the debut, haircutting and everything. It's actually really cool.
How much does he get for a cut?
It's all what we want to give him. I give him $100 because of the conversation, you know, and it's barber love too. It's one of those things that, you know, like he takes care of me. He came up and said what's up to me right when I walked in the locker room. So it's kind of like a respect thing. And we had a good conversation, and I really think he deserved that, you know.
And I don't know exactly how to say this, Jordan. You can cut Tom Cruise's hair and 50 Cent's hair and, you know, just the races. You could give me a good high top and give Hawk over here the white man?
I definitely could.
Really? What about a female? Could you cut a female's hair?
No. I told my girlfriend, I'm like, hey, let me practice on your hair. She said no. So it's one of those things that I thought I could practice on her. You know, I thought she would trust me enough, but I guess not. You know, I guess I'm at that point in our relationship yet.
All right. Well, Jordan Yamamoto, we loved watching your debut outing, and I'm glad that your family was down here to see it, and we're going to continue rooting for you and the Marlins. We appreciate you making time and continued success in the big leagues.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
There you go. Jordan Yamamoto. That is a great story. And what a...
That's a movie.
That's a movie.
You're riding on a bus.
And they pull kind of a joke on you, right?
Yes.
Like, hey, we gotta lose some weight off the bus, leave your haircut equipment behind. In fact, you get off the bus. Like, that's great. And then you come up and you throw 7 shutout innings.
I was just going to say, the end of that story doesn't usually end that way, like it did for Jordan.
And, like, you know, you've got the 2 scenes going on. He's got his parents hustling to get to an airport in Hawaii to fly all the way across to get to Miami. And you figure he's going to go out there, he's going to get rocked, and maybe the parents will be there to make him feel better after he's, you know, pulled after an inning and a half. This dude's mowing him down.
Balled out.
That was great. All right, Jordan Yamamoto from the Marlins there. We'll take a break on this Friday, Pareo Friday, and come right back.
Radio.com.
I enjoyed talking to Jordan Yamamoto a lot.
That was cool.
That was cool.
He's just a kid living out his dream.
But funny, somebody texts in, Hawk got me dying when he asked Jordan Yamamoto what his favorite movie was, and he said Fast and Furious, and Hawk responded with, I didn't expect that, but then again, I don't hang out with young people. I mean, honestly, in my crew, I've never had someone say, oh, yeah, my favorite movie, Fast and Furious series. Huh?
You always go back.
That's crazy, man.
Godfather and stuff. He's younger than Solana.
Hey, he's a young kid. He's like 23 years old. Excellent and entertaining interview with the young pitcher, somebody says. A lot of people enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Rookie needs to wake up. I'd charge $500 a haircut.
Appreciate you. You got my back.
But that's, you know, again, he told the haircut story. I mean, he was in the minor leagues. I mean, there's a reason that somebody's got barber equipment on the road because those dudes are getting paid peanuts, most of them.
Yeah, the Dolphins ain't many people cutting hair. They have an actual guy that comes in and he makes bank.
I mean, you said guys would come in like tailors, right? I mean, you'd never have to go somewhere to buy a suit.
You can get a suit overnight if you want to. You need a suit? Okay, the tailor will be here in 2 hours. They'll size you up, have the suit made overnight for you. Have it there the next morning. It was crazy. It's going to cost you a pretty penny now. It
doesn't matter, though, when you're making millions and millions and millions of dollars.
That's why I was selling chips for $10 a bag, because it doesn't matter when you're making
prices don't matter.
Millions and millions and millions of dollars.
There's a lot of rain out there in South Florida. Make sure you are driving safely. You don't have to get anywhere fast. Just be patient. There is a ton of rain out there, so everybody be very careful as you're driving around.
Don't put your damn hazard lights on.
So, yeah, that's I don't know what that is.
Just drive.
Although, I don't know why people get so annoyed by it either.
Because it grabs your attention.
What's the difference?
It does grab your attention.
I know, but I mean, I don't know what people do get really annoyed by that.
I do.
I don't know, like, what, like.
Because I'm not the guy, I'm not going 25 when it's raining. I'm going to go to regular speed.
I got you.
And I don't speed. If it's 55, I go about 55, but I'm not going down to 45. So when I'm riding past you with your hazard lights on, you make me nervous.
Hmm.
What the hell are you going to do that you need your hazard lights on? It makes me nervous, Hawk.
See, now they're debating on high noon. Steph Curry is now 0-for-8 on go-ahead shots in the final 20 seconds of playoff games.
That's the stat I was talking about earlier.
0-for-8 in go-ahead shots in the final 20 seconds of playoff games. So at what point do you say we shouldn't be going to him for the game-winning shot?
At 0-8.
Like, is that, like, for the rest, like, aren't you kind of foolish now if you get to the playoffs with Steph Curry and you need a shot to win and he's 0-for-8 in his career in game-winning shots with 20 seconds to go and you keep feeding him the ball? He's kind of shown you over and over that he can't do it.
And you were talking about this earlier with that stat. And let's say it's honest. Let's say he's not made for that because he's 0-for-8 now and they said that's the worst in 20 years. Go-ahead shots with the final 20 seconds in playoff games. His field goal percentage is going to be amazing. His three-point percentage is going to be amazing. He's going to hit more threes than anybody in NBA history. Is he great if he can't do it at the end of games?
Right. That one stat there is a glaring stat.
So he'll give it to you for 45 minutes. Although when you need him late, he cannot do it.
I would ask you this. So Klay and KD aren't out there. It's not. I think they had 9 seconds yesterday. They were down by one. Now, if you're Steve Kerr, you're the head coach of the Warriors. He's 0-for-7 at that point in game-winning shots with 20 seconds to go. Is there anyone you're considering getting the ball to other than him?
Iguodala.
Maybe Andre Iguodala.
Because I've seen him hit some. Right. I've seen him hit shots in that situation. But you saw the play. The final play was set up.
I didn't love that play, by the way. Solana and I were talking about it before the show. I didn't love the play. That is a dangerous pass to make to Draymond Green. And Draymond almost wasn't able to corral that ball.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't love that play. But it was, you know, it was to get it to Draymond, to get it over to Steph, and he had the open look at it. But is there, like, Would you even hesitate? Like, it'd be crazy to not get the ball to him for the final shot, right? Even though he was 0-7 going into that point.
With KD and Klay out, yeah. But the way Klay was shooting, if Klay didn't tear his ACL, I would want Klay to take that shot.
If Klay, especially the way that he was looking last night.
Last night, yes.
I would have preferred, yeah, if Klay was out there, get the ball in Klay Thompson's hands.
I assume Kerr would have still set up for Steph, though.
Probably. I think you'd feel foolish as a coach, right? If you're drawing up a play. Now, Michael would obviously, the play would be drawn up for Michael. He found John Paxson in the corner 1 year. He found Steve Kerr up at the top of the key 1 year. Like, you can find someone. But that was perfectly executed. Steph Curry had the look, man.
It was high-risk inbound pass, but Steph had a wide open. That's wide open.
He got the look, man.
In the NBA, that's wide open. And now they have all those advanced statistics.
Yeah.
He's a 42% shooter from that position in his career.
Well, now somebody texts in, sample size of 8. Tiny, tiny sample size. He's the best shooter ever. Does he forget how to shoot? It's not a tiny sample size, though, when you're talking about that specific scenario. Like, to be in a situation where you can hit a game-winning shot with 20 seconds left in a playoff game, like, it's happening a lot if he's had 8 chances to do that. So it's a little skewed. Yes, 8 chances in a regular season over the course of his career, tiny sample size. But in that situation, it's not the tiniest sample size.
And he's a shooter. Like, he just said it. He's the best shooter. He's a shooter.
Right.
Go make the shot when it's on the line. And I was saying it. He is going to be down. And Ray Allen and the people always bring up Ray Allen. I think people forget about Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller was a damn assassin.
Killer.
Larry Bird from behind the arc. Like, there are some guys that shoot. Steph's going to be in that top 3 argument for forever. But if those numbers keep going that same way, can you call Steph great when he can't finish a big game?
And then, you know, we talked about this earlier. I thought Danny Cannell had an awesome tweet this morning. Now, think about this. After the game, Steph Curry, everybody saw the video. He's in the tunnel. He's FaceTiming Drake after the game. He's congratulating Drake, what did Drake do? It's so bizarre to me that he's
rub Nick's shoulder.
He's congratulating Drake, but he's in the tunnel. He's FaceTiming Drake. Danny Cannell tweeted this out. Can you imagine the Heat, if LeBron went 0-for-4 in the fourth quarter, which is what Steph did last night, missed the potential game-winning shot to lose an NBA Finals, and then FaceTime Drake afterwards to congratulate him? He's right on, too. LeBron would be vilified in every television show, every radio show nationwide.
I'd be hot.
Yep.
I'd have been mad.
Yep.
What the hell has Drake got to do with this? Get off the damn phone staring another man in his face, staring in the man's nose, you staring up his nose. I don't understand FaceTime, and I really don't understand FaceTime between man and man.
And you should be pissed because you missed the game-winning shot, and you're the alpha male on the team, and, like, there's a whole bunch of play there. Steph Curry's getting a pass. It's fine. By the way, I love Steph Curry. My kid's got a Steph Curry fathead in our house. My kid loves Steph Curry. Now, I do think, though, if you watch First Take in the morning on ESPN, they debate a lot of stuff. Obviously, it's the whole concept of the show. But they were debating, is a little bit of the luster of Steph Curry taken off after that performance last night in the finals? And I think it's a fair debate. It's not a debate of, is Steph Curry garbage? Would you trade Steph Curry for Dion Waiters? No, of course not. I want a guy who's got ice in his veins. Like, it's not what we're talking about. We were trying to think earlier. If you had to literally name the best players in the NBA, you're going Giannis or KD.
Kawhi. Bron,
Harden, Westbrook.
Yeah, when we get to Westbrook, you got to go Paul George. Like, there's some...
Chris Paul. Paul George. I mean, Steph Curry, like, you're at 8 already.
Yeah.
So he's probably a top 10 player, but you could make cases for who? Anthony Davis, right?
And, you know, we missed him. He should be in the top 5. But to this week, this whole segment, we talk about it. Is Klay a great player or a great shooter?
Curry.
Because we just talked about he can't play defense. He's too little. He can't play. Last night, the entire Raptors team was going at him to score points. So we know he can't play defense. Is he an amazing passer? Yes. He can shoot the hell out the ball. But does that make you a great player? Because Steph is a liability on the defensive side of the court, and that's half the plays. Half the time he's on the court, he's a liability. The other half, he's the best shooter in the game.
Right, but we're saying that with the context of KD being out and Klay being out for most of the game, or at least a larger part of the game. The part of the game you're remembering, Klay was out, right, at the end of the game. If those two guys are in, Curry is not as much of a defensive liability.
Well, of course.
But that matters. Early in the game, Kyle Lowry came out, was eating his ass up.
Right. I mean, they're all on the floor, and they're going at him. It's why they had to switch him off Lowry, because Lowry was going off. But all that stuff is masked by better players. But that really, to me, kind of fosters the debate of, well, where is Steph Curry then in the pantheon of everything?
Because last night you're looking at it, and yeah, at the end of the game, he can't create separation. He can't get out of that. He can't get open from that box in one. He's being guarded. And okay, but how many of those possessions during the game? I remember Klay Thompson got a bunch of open threes because Steph Curry on a pin down, a screen down low in the paint, players are respecting that three-pointer so much by Curry. Two guys, miscommunication, go out to Curry. It's open threes for everybody.
But again, not debating whether he's a great shooter and not debating whether he could change a game, because he could change a game. It's like Hassan Whiteside. You know, you could debate him all you want. When he's sitting in the paint there, he will change someone's shot. Doesn't matter if he blocks it or not. He changes things. But that's not really the debate, because they're debating it on HQ right now. Is that a shot Steph has to hit? Is it?
Yes.
It is.
It is.
To be great. But just think about this too, Solana.
It's not to be great, though.
No, to be great. And I want to go to the defensive side. I'm a defensive guy. Do teams go at Kawhi? Do they go at LeBron?
No, they can't.
Do they go at KD?
You can't.
It's impossible because you're running into a wall.
Right.
You can go at Steph Curry.
They may go at James Harden.
Yeah.
There are, and
I can make this same argument with Steph for James, too, because mm-hmm. James is putting on the defensive side mm-hmm. of the court. When you say a player is great, and I don't know if this is just me because I'm old, you know, I'm a curmudgeon, old school guy, you have to be able to play the entire 48 minutes. You can't play 24 only when you got the ball.
This is, I think, so great. Tells you where I am with my career and what I do every day on the radio. Somebody tweets at me, how can you be so consistently wrong about everything? So I had to look and see what I was wrong about this time. I had to see what, like, I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, what am I wrong about? I could be wrong in somebody's opinion about the Steph Curry thing here or whatever. It was about the cable guy. I tweeted, not a banger. I think you like that movie
cable
too, right?
Guy?
Cable guy with Jim Carrey.
But that's when you know Jim Carrey what he was.
The Cable Guy starring Jim Carrey premiered in theaters 23 years ago today. And I tweeted out earlier, not a banger. I don't think it was ever a banger.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Somebody says, how can you be so consistently wrong about everything? You like that movie for some reason.
But you had to understand.
Really?
When you got Cable Guy, when you got Liar Liar, when you got The Mask, you knew what you were getting.
Liar.
Jim Carrey is going to give you Jim Carrey. If you don't want, do you like Jim Carrey?
Yes, I did.
So you like Cable Guy?
No, I don't.
Cable Guy is probably, might be Jim Carrey's best movie.
It's different, and he stretches what he is a little bit, but.
It's his best movie.
I would put it up there as one of his worst movies.
Over Mask?
It's the best movie. What's the one where he turns into God? I'm forgetting the name now.
Ace Ventura.
He's God? I thought he was a pet detective.
With Morgan Freeman.
I think it's in the name, Ace Ventura Pet Detective. You saw God?
What was the one, Dave? No. Truman Show?
No, man, the one he turns into God.
I like Truman Show.
You did, I hated Truman. You know what it was? Because I like the silly. Well,
Cable Guy was just kind of weird.
But it was funny. He was a lunatic, but he put the chicken skin on his face and did put his little nipple on the
face. Speaking of lunatics, in the next segment, we are going to take you on a trip. Alex Dono, our midday host here, he is America, right? Guy's got to get up in the morning. He's got a job. He's got to be here. Show starts at 10 a.m. He's got to be here at 9 a.m.
Yep.
So he's got to get up in the morning. He's got a baby at home, 15-month-old.
Hmm.
Got a wife that works.
At night, so he has to take the baby through the night.
Alex Dono last night wanted to watch the NBA Finals. But it's difficult. Doesn't tip off till 9 p.m. Now, I've been here. He's on Ambien. Because we have audio. He was posting video clips to Twitter last night, and I was mesmerized by it. Mesmerized. It's the best thing I've ever seen on Twitter. It's the greatest use of Twitter I've ever seen. And I would submit to you, Dono probably doesn't even remember it.
No.
That's how ambient up he was.
Ambient up.
But he is America. A lot of people wanted to watch last night, and it's just so hard to stay up. But we are going to take you on a trip with our midday host, Alex Dono, in the next segment. We have a luxury in our profession. We don't start working till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And so a 9 o'clock start on an NBA game doesn't mean anything.
Nothing at all.
I've done mornings before, and it's not fun. I did mornings while the Heat were in the finals. So you had to watch the post game. You had to, like, it was, those were brutal days. And a lot of people complain about the 9 o'clock start. Now, throw into that a baby. And it just becomes a really untenable situation.
Really, yes.
And it was for our midday host, Alex Dono. Dono and Frito are on before us. And last night,
that's so funny.
I am on Twitter watching Dono. Now, I've been where he was. And when I say where he was, on Ambien. Mm-hmm. Those are Ambien tweets. I've done them. Never videos like him. But I've done Ambien tweets where I've woken up in the morning, I have all these notifications, can't figure out why, and then I realize, whoa, who tweeted that off my account? Oh, I did? So
y'all are roofing yourself.
Yep, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. So I'm watching Dono. He obviously took Ambien last night and then was trying to stay up for the NBA Finals, and he's posting like this video documentary that was as good as anything I've ever watched. You know how I rave about Cobra Kai?
Yeah.
This is better. Here's the first video that Dono posted.
I father a 15-month-old. Do you have any idea how much coffee it takes for a guy like me with a family, with obligations, to stay up this late to watch an NBA
He's
Finals
He's sitting
game?
On his couch,
it's a little
by
after
the way.
9 o'clock right now. We ain't tipped off this son bitch yet. Once this thing tips off, we're talking two and a half hours. Cuban colada,
two hours.
Espresso ristretto. We're drinking whatever we can to get through
sense.
Tonight. If I have to pry my own eyelids open, God willing, I will watch every second of Game 6 tonight. Stay tuned.
All right, that's 9 o'clock. He's sitting on the couch.
Good energy.
Probably just took the Ambien, because I'll take it. I've got a good, like, I could take an Ambien and still stay up for the next 2-3 hours or whatever. You get a little loopy, though. Mm-hmm. And I say, now the next one, he's still on the couch.
Still on the couch.
First quarter. It's been 15 minutes since we last spoke. Things are not going well. Had the red wine. Kid's been asleep for an hour and a half, 2 hours. I'm on daddy duty tonight. Eyes are barely staying open. This is what the NBA does to me. This is what the NBA does to me. I need to see this thing out. I need to stay awake. If I can't make it until the end of Game 6, may God have mercy on our souls.
Uh-oh. It's going downhill.
He's Mark Watney in The Martian. He is astronaut Mark Watney. Speaking to the camera, realizing he's only got certain souls left because there's no food and there's no one coming to save him on Mars.
So in this next clip, he left home base and now he's in the rover.
He's in the rover, his bed. He has shifted his area of operations from the couch now to his bed.
It's been another 10 minutes and the situation has changed a little bit. I've moved to my bed. I'm still watching the game. I'm still staying up for the entire game, but I gotta be fresh to play with the 15-month-old tomorrow, so I might take a couple of naps during commercial breaks, handle it like a boss. What could possibly go wrong? I will make it to the duration, whether they go to overtime, double overtime, quintuple overtime, Game 6, it's gonna be lit AF.
And by the way, to give you the visualization, you can still see it on Twitter, Alex Dono on Twitter. He's got the big scruffy beard. He's not wearing the hat because he's in bed, so he's got the bald head. You could see the eyes are starting to droop a little bit. There's stuff all over the bedroom. Like, it's just, like, things are going downhill at this point.
And he's on Ambien and red wine.
He is on Ambien, red wine, and little sleep because he's got a 15-month-old. Like, I mean, just things are going downhill here, but he is convinced he's going to be able to stay awake for the entire game.
I got Dono. Come on, Dono.
Here is session number 4.
We got this. Golden State, baby. Steph, Clay, KD. Got a bad Achilles. He ain't out there. We got this, son. Staying awake for 48 minutes, bitches. 48 minutes. No problem. Until the final whistle.
All right. He is in for the duration, bitches. He is the whole 48. Like, what happened to him? What happened to him?
Hey, mine's gone.
I believe this is the final one. This was the final one before he drifted off into a deep sleep.
This will be the last year for me tonight. Not because I'm going to sleep. I'll be up forever. I'm staying up all night, homies. But I do need to get off social media. I told you I feel good about the Warriors. They trail now. They had a 1-point lead before. Now I got to stay up. I thought they had it. I got to stay up for another 2 hours now. I'm staying off social media. I'm not going to sleep, I promise. I had a great nap during the commercial break. Classic. I had like 7 dreams. It's all good. Golden State Warriors, baby. We got this. America, take down Canada. Freedom.
What? What did he say?
He became patriotic. You gotta take down Canada, guy. That's my favorite one, because I've been there on Ambien before. This dude's making no sense now. He thinks he's making sense. He's making no sense, and he punctuates it all. I want to hear it again. He punctuates it all with freedom.
This will be the last year for me tonight.
Last year.
Not because I'm going to sleep. I'll be up forever. I'm staying up all night, homies. But I do need to get off social media. I told you I feel good about the Warriors. They trail now. They had a 1-point lead before. Now I got to stay up. I thought they had it. I got to stay up for another 2 hours now. I'm staying off social media. I'm not going to sleep, I promise. I had a great nap during the commercial break. Classic. I had like 7 dreams. It's all good. Golden State Warriors, baby. We got this. America, take down Canada. Freedom.
Freedom.
Freedom. Alex Dono is all of us watching on the East Coast for an NBA Finals series that doesn't start till 9. Alex Dono is the everyman. So bravo to you, Alex Dono. We'll take a quick break and we'll come right back.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.